a modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name's Mike Royer.
And this week's podcast is The Actual Storm.
Whoa!
Despite Avengers Age of Ultron's release, we're going to talk about Spider-Man's casting, Apocalypse's mutants, TMNT 2, the state of DC Cinematic Universe, and more.
Oh, man. I was worried that we weren't going to have any news this week, because I thought everyone was going to be afraid of Ultron overshadowing them, but I think we're actually going to have an episode here.
Yeah, we've got quite a bit. It's a little more obscure than usual. Normally, we get a lot of Marvel news, a lot of like Fantastic Four stuff, but hardly any of that this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. I'm excited to hear that. So the question on everyone's minds, and this is something I've been getting. How many times have you seen Age of Ultron, Mike?
Well, I have seen it twice so far.
Just twice?
Yeah, just twice.
Just twice. Okay. Well, we'll take that as an answer. 3D, 2D, both? None? IMAX?
Well, they were both in 3D, two different cinemas. The first cinema had these bizarre kind of 3D glasses that I don't come across them too much. They're not kind of the typical one that look like retro nerd glasses. They kind of had this weird like shape to them. They're really narrow, kind of like Data from Star Trek.
Okay.
Not Data. Who's the
Reading Rainbow guy?
Yeah, that guy.
Reading Rainbow from Star Trek.
You can tell that we don't watch a whole lot of Star Trek. I didn't enjoy those 3D glasses that much. But the second time I got to have like those normal 3D glasses, and the experience was a little bit better for me. But yeah, I only saw it twice. And when I was telling people how many times my co-host has seen it, they're like, wow, that's a lot. And I was just like, no, if you knew him, it would be pretty normal.
Yeah, I like to compare. I saw the first Avengers 5 times in theaters. This time I'm only up to 3 the first weekend. So I got a little bit. I got at least one more planned, maybe 2.
Man, that's, you know, that's nearly once a day.
It is. But I mean, those are probably for the next couple weeks. So I'm okay with this. I've had 3D was my first one, and that was a good experience. I was in the middle of the theater, and it was awesome. The second time was 2D, but I was in the front 3 rows in the bottom left. You definitely take a lot. It's a lot to take in. Your eyes move a lot more than you think it does at that size. And then today, on the third time, I was actually in the upper right, and I got to see a little bit more. And so 3 times. What's that say about the movie?
I think that says that you definitely liked it.
I do like this movie. I've been a little more critical about it on my other website, Comic UI, than it. But that was for the first. I rated it on the first viewing. This is one of those movies that gets better with consecutive viewings.
Yeah,
I have to be honest. And it's good. It's a great follow up to the original Avengers, and I really like it.
Yeah, but you know, we're just going to go ahead and just cut right to the chase here. We're definitely not going to be giving any spoilers in this episode, so you don't have to worry about it, how to have a chance to see it. We are doing our own very first Superhero Slate spoiler special, which I don't know if we landed on the term spoiler special.
But, spoiler cast was a good term I heard.
Yeah, so if you're subscribed to us, you'll be getting 2 episodes this week. You'll be getting your own standalone chocked full of spoilers for Age of Ultron. So definitely, if you haven't seen Age of Ultron yet, go out and see it, and then come back and listen to that episode. We're gonna dive so deep into that movie. We're gonna talk about every little thing. But you know, as from my point of view, I thought the movie was good too. You know, I've been trying to find a way to kind of like rank it. I think that's kind of a good way to show how much you liked a Marvel movie is just by putting it up against other ones, because I don't think any Marvel movie out there is bad. You know, some people don't like some, like, very much. Like, a lot of people tend to rag on the Thor movies. I really don't think they're that bad. But I think I would put Age of Ultron just under Guardians of the Galaxy. I think my top 3 Marvel films is still Winter Soldier, the original Avengers, and Iron Man 1. So I don't think Age of Ultron quite got into my top 3, but I think it was a good film.
See, I'm going to probably put it at 3 or 4. I can't decide myself, because I'm with you. Winter Soldier is my top one. That movie is unparalleled, honestly. It was one of my best movies of last year. Guardians and Iron Man kind of tie for second place. They kind of do two different things, but I like them just the same. And then it comes down to this third, fourth. It's I think I like Age of Ultron a little more than the original one. And it's simply due to the cinematic approach of this one. Mm-hmm. I don't how the other one's kind of bright and everything's lit and colored, and this one's a little more cinematic, and I think that gives it a slighter edge in my book.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the next episode. We're not going to go into it here, but now you know we enjoyed the film, and yeah, so should you.
Yeah, it's easy to recommend. Everyone's going to be seeing this movie, and there's no reason that you shouldn't. I think the only way you can almost talk about this movie is maybe kind of pointing out things maybe you didn't like that much, because there's so much in it to like. The only kind of way you can find a balance of giving your opinion out there is kind of pointing out some of the things that you don't like. So hopefully it doesn't sound like that we're, you know, maybe hating on the movie, because we loved it.
Definitely, but yeah. It's definitely a good one. Go see it if you haven't. If you have, go see it again.
Yeah,
so
we've definitely contributed to the box office a little bit.
Yeah, it shut up and take my money, kind of deal.
Yeah, by the time everyone's listening to this episode, we'll see if it broke the record of the first film.
Yes, we'll know. We'll know tomorrow. So next week we'll cover that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, next up, you know, Marvel's planned out everything for the next couple of years, honestly, which I wish they would have announced after this film to keep the speculation going. So Infinity War is coming out in, a couple years. What, 2 years? No, 3 years. Three years. 18, 2018. They're starting filming, coming up pretty soon, and they're filming both Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2 back to back.
Yeah, I think that's the only way they could accomplish it. Yeah. Like, these Part 1 and Part 2 films in basically any franchise, you kind of got to keep them going consistently.
Yeah, and that's going to take 9 months, which is... It doesn't seem that long, but in today's, like, you know, modern movie production schedules, that's a long time.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of Infinity War babies in the credits for these films.
Yeah, that's exactly how long that is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And something cool about that, you know, the more I think about it, is, you know, they've got the Defenders they're going to have in that film. All the Avengers and all these new characters coming into it. So they're going to be, you know, maybe filming their own movie while filming Infinity War as well.
Yeah,
and we're going to see a lot of... I would love to see behind-the-scenes photos of this, but I also want to say pretty dark, because I think that benefited Age of Ultron.
Yeah, exactly. I think this kind of goes to show you how difficult it can be to run a whole franchise, to run a whole universe, where, like, the people involved who aren't creatives are almost nearly as important as the creative people. You know, you need producers in this movie that can keep stuff organized and keep stuff from leaking and make sure these sets are locked down and make sure you're hiring trustworthy people. Because as much as we would love to see, like, some spoilery-ish stuff leak, you know, get the first glimpse of Spider-Man before we are supposed to, you know, it is nice, like you said, to kind of stay in the dark a little bit. So I think over those 9 months, things are going to be pretty locked down on those sets as they should be.
Yeah, yeah. And definitely not everyone's going to be there every day either. That's why the 9 months is there. So we'll trust Marvel to tell us and show us the right things at the right time.
Yeah.
As they usually do.
Yeah, and just like speaking of Infinity Wars in general, you will definitely leave very hyped from Age of Ultron, looking forward to the Infinity War.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a lot going on in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Speaking of, another character who's going to show up in Infinity War, Daredevil, right? We've got a lot of Daredevil lately.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I don't know. Are we confirmed that we're going to see any of the Defenders in the Infinity War?
Yeah, yeah, we talked about this in one or two shows back. The Defenders will show up in Part 2.
Hmm. Well, I don't see. This is the thing. We I saw an article just the past week that said they were talking to Charlie Cox, you know, the guy who played Daredevil, and he said that his contract was definitely open. It said that if he was asked to be in a Marvel film, he was contractually obligated. But it sounded like that he had not had any official plans to be in any of these films yet. So I think that actually might still be up in the air.
No, they definitely confirmed they are in Part 2. I think that's for his own individual Daredevil film.
Possibly.
But they are definitely showing up in part two of Infinity War, not part one.
Yeah. Anyway, I wouldn't say it would be a stretch to believe that they would be in it, whether it was confirmed or not. I think it's pretty obvious if you kind of know the scope of what happens in the Infinity Wars that it would make sense to bring in as many heroes as possible. So I think it would be pretty cool to see Daredevil pop up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but Daredevil is the most watched show on Netflix, believe that or not.
Well, isn't it the most... I believe it's the most watched Netflix original.
Yeah, the most watched Netflix original show.
Mm-hmm.
10% of all Netflix users have at least watched one episode.
Yeah, and that's huge. 10% for as many people that have Netflix. Like, I don't know their subscriber base off the top of my head, but I know it's huge.
Yeah, and honestly, it's so many. I spend more time looking for something to watch on Netflix than actually watching something.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people going there and watching Daredevil. So that's you know, that says something as well.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you, you know, since this is directly putting the numbers up against their other Netflix originals, I would say a lot of their other Netflix originals are a little bit easier to get into. You know, you have stuff like Kimmy Schmidt, which came out not too long ago, and that's, you know, that's a sitcom, that's a comedy, you know, very easily watchable. You don't have to know the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe to get into it. And then they have, like, dramas like House of Cards that, you know, bring a lot of a more of a sophisticated audience to it. I think it speaks a lot to the popularity of superheroes that all of these people on Netflix are, you know, clamping at the bit, like chomping at the bit,
and
trying to get some of it.
I mean, that's a testament to Daredevil being, you know, a first Netflix original Marvel team-up show. And, like, they were teaming up to make Daredevil, and It worked. It's a big gamble, and it worked.
Yeah, yeah, we're definitely going to be seeing all of these Defender shows. I know they're all confirmed, but, hell, we had Spider-Man movies confirmed until those took the shitter, so... You know, yeah. you can never be 100% positive, even when a studio confirms something. But I think it's pretty solidified now.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of Spider-Man, actually, you bring us on to our next point. The next Spider-Man is supposedly down to two actors.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I believe it's Asa Butterfield. He's the main actor in Hugo in Ender's Game.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Holland, a British guy, he's in The Impossible. I don't know. I know nothing about Tom Holland, and I know more about the Mr. Butterfield.
Yeah, and the two things they seem to have in common is they both look very young for their ages.
Yeah, they're both like 18, I think.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But they could pull off 14, hands down.
Yeah, I know Butterfield is 18. I'm not too sure about Tom Holland, but they are both they look very young for their age, and... I think that's going to be more true to the character of Peter Parker, depending on where they place him in the universe. You know, if they place him in high school, you know, I don't know if they're going to have him close to college or not.
The press release is he's 15 to 16.
Okay, so it's definitely going to fit that age range very well. But I think it will kind of throw some people off because the last two Spider-Mans that we've had have definitely not been anywhere near that age of looks. You know, when we had the last Spider-Man, he was, you know, he was junior, senior in high school, I believe, where they placed him.
Yeah.
And he obviously looked a little bit older than his age actually was.
We're actually getting a child Spider-Man, a kid Spider-Man, much like the Ultimate Spider-Man universe and TV show. And, you know, that's worked well in the comics, and that's something we've not seen. And I guess if Marvel really wants to differentiate themselves, This is how they need to do it.
Yeah, and all I feel like we can really go on here is almost their looks. I mean, obviously these actors have been in other films, but I've only seen Butterfield in Ender's Game. And Ender's Game, as overall, was a decent film. But he, if you're familiar with the character that he played, Ender, very deep, brooding, you know, dark, you know, movie. I mean, there wasn't much joy in the movie. There definitely was no, like, sarcastic quipping. So it's kind of like, you know, it's hard to imagine any of them as Peter Parker, as Spider-Man. So I think we can trust Marvel with their casting. I don't know how much Sony is in the room deciding on these two, or, you know, hopefully Kevin Feige is in there basically telling them where to go, because I think we can trust him.
Yeah, that's something I actually noticed while watching Age of Ultron, is how perfect they cast their characters.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hemsworth, an unknown guy before Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Evans, you know, was like kind of like a the romantic comedy, like, he was the, what, Not Another Teen Movie, comedy guy, and they, how they transform him into those Marvel characters we know so dearly is fantastic, and that's something I really feel Marvel will do well if, like you said, if they have more say, they will cast very well.
Yeah, so, you know, let's, we just kind of got to cross our fingers here, because this is going to be a very different Spider-Man, you know. We're finally having, you know, some final, not final decisions being made through Marvel Studios, but they definitely have decisions to be made here, so.
Yeah, and I expect to hear more about that sooner than later. So, Star Wars. Did you see a Star Wars trailer this weekend?
Oh, man, I can't. I am almost curious if any part in the Age of Ultron movie beat the audience cheer that the Star Wars trailer got. So we got the Star Wars trailer at the beginning of each film I watched the two times I went and saw it, and I swear we were close to standing ovations for it. I mean, people lost it.
I tell you what, I only saw it two of the screenings because it was at the same theater. The one actually did not have Star Wars; it had Batman versus Superman. And people booed the Batman versus Superman.
Oh, man, those people need to get over themselves.
It was funny. That crowd reaction was probably the best. And we'll talk about it in the spoiler cast, but that was pretty funny. But Star Wars, we have a new cover of a magazine coming out that shows off Han, Chewie, Finn, and Rey from the upcoming movie, who we've seen, you know, in the trailer recently.
Mm-hmm. Well, good on you for remembering those new characters' names, because the only new character I can remember is BB-8.
Oh, yeah, you remember the droid, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Finn and Rey. Rey is the girl played by Daisy Ridley, and then Finn is John Boyega. There we go. Ha-ha.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the cover, and it looks like they'll be probably spending some screen time together.
Yeah, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, is Harrison Ford, is he sitting next to his daughter? You know, I think we're gonna figure that out sooner or later.
Or is he just hitting that?
Oh God, I hope not.
No. Let's hope not.
Harrison Ford is too old to be hitting anything, man.
I mean, unless it's like himself.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I suppose
breaking hips and stuff.
Maybe he's making some Wookiee love off scenes.
Oh, okay. Whoa, let's stop there. Yeah, so, I mean, they look good. I like it. It's a good picture. I expect, like you said, you want to see a textless version later.
Yeah.
I think, you know, May the 4th, be with you, is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And probably expect some Star Wars news or something, at least, that we don't expect right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that Ultron's over, I need a new background, a new wallpaper on my phone, and I'd like to make it Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm feeling Star Wars, maybe Ant-Man myself, depending on if they get some good images out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even Jurassic World. I don't know. More Star Wars news coming along here. Josh Trank, the director of Chronicle and the upcoming Fantastic Four movie,
mm-hmm.
he has left the Star Wars anthology film he was supposed to direct, the second one.
Yeah, so I heard a little bit of this news last week, but I did not dive in to see if there was a reason why, or if it's just kind of left up to scheduling conflicts, or why he left, or what the deal is. So, do you know?
Yeah, so first off, he submitted a letter to the public saying he was leaving the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The trades report that this came from, you know, it may be mutual, but it's because of his work with Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
He was so erratic and, you know, he isolated himself. He destroyed a house by himself, like, during filming, from producer Simon Kinberg, you know, guy who handles all the X-Men movies.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you know, Lucasfilm asked Kinberg, like, well, what do you think of him? And he's like, no, this guy's terrible.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I can expect that. You know, Trank went from Chronicle, a low-budget, you know, found footage type film,
mm-hmm.
to Fantastic Four, and you know, that's a lot of responsibility. That's a big change in environment. It probably maybe didn't work so well with him, and that indie filmmaker attitude he might have. So yeah, but he's off that. Who knows who they'll find next? But not Josh Trank.
Yeah, I mean, well, it sounds like he might be a little self-destructive. Can't quite handle the pressure of what's going on over there, and I think that's good. You know, if he can't handle it, please get him off of a Star Wars film.
Exactly. I mean, if he can't handle Fantastic Four, who you can't do worse than the last movie.
Yeah.
Get him out of there. get him out of there.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of had a crazy slate of projects, because I believe at one point he was slated to possibly do a Venom movie, you know, which is not being made anymore. You know, so it makes you wonder that if he would have eventually made it to that Venom movie, if that Venom movie wouldn't have been any good, or if that would have been a mess too.
Well, that probably would have been great, because Venom's such a destructive character.
Yeah, maybe he would have channeled some of his personality in there.
It's more of a character piece, really. His biography, Venom, the Josh Trank story. So, yeah, that's news. I still look forward to Fantastic Four. I don't care.
But you know, if Fantastic Four doesn't end up being good, they're going to say that's why Josh Trank probably wasn't let, you know, to be attached to Star Wars, because he fucked up Fantastic Four. So
yeah, that's true.
We'll have to see how that goes down.
Yeah.
We will report back in.
We will definitely, I think August, it's still August, yes, August, we will let you know how Fantastic Four is. Is it fantastic? Mm-hmm. Or is it the Frightful Four? I don't know. That's actually a real team, so don't hold that against me.
Okay.
So we're going to jump into an X-Men Apocalypse. No real segue here. I'm just going to tell you, we're going to end the X-Men Apocalypse because we've seen, they started filming last week on Monday, images bombarding us left, right, left, right.
Yeah, and man, if you go back to our last week's episode, we said that they're going to start filming, and we told you all to go out there if you have those telephoto lenses and start taking pictures, and they delivered. Lots of pictures.
You listened, and we have lots of pictures. First up was an official release of Nightcrawler. What do you think of Nightcrawler, Mike?
Nightcrawler looks like Nightcrawler. That's for sure. You know, he kind of has a, I don't really know how to describe it. He kind of, the actor's face definitely comes through. I don't really know. Like the actor had a very particular looking face shape that definitely came through with, the look of Nightcrawler. I mean, Nightcrawler overall is basically, you know, a blue dude. You know, with a tail. You know, he doesn't have too many defining features until you start looking maybe at his hands directly. But he does kind of look like a kid, you know, like a teenager. He looks like he's going to fit into that age range of the new characters that they're bringing on. But, you know, at the same time, I really liked Nightcrawler from the previous X-Men films. You know, I liked it when they showed, like, his kind of cryptic pattern of tattoos on his body. I thought that was a really cool way to kind of show some differences of Nightcrawler. You know, what could he look like if he was on the screen? So I thought he looked good in the last movies. He kind of looks a little goofy right here.
Yeah, I mean, that's something. I mean, in comics, his nickname is the Fuzzy Blue Elf because of his ears and tail and you know, and this he's definitely got the three fingers on each hand and like the three toes or whatever. And that matches up with the comic. His tail looks kind of sharp. I'm going to be honest. It looks like a more dangerous tail than previously seen, like in X2.
Well, I believe in, what was it, First Class, we had that Nightcrawler-esque character that was red. I don't remember what his name was.
Azazel.
Yeah.
Who's actually, in the comics, the father of Nightcrawler.
Yeah, but in that movie, he was definitely murdering some people with his sharp tail, so I would assume Nightcrawler could do that too, the new Nightcrawler that we got going on.
Yeah, you definitely gonna, it's gonna be awesome. We have a video link in our thing to show him, like, poofing. That's from the I guess the preview. So he's gonna be doing the poofing thing around, so that's cool, but I think he looks awesome. I think it's pretty true to the character.
Yeah,
and fits X2 very well as well.
I think overall Nightcrawler is more impressive when you actually see him in action. You know, he's just kind of like looks like a little blue, like little alien or something when you see him standing still. So when he's jumping around and moving and poofing in and out and disappearing behind people, you know, that's the cool stuff. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, yeah. Same could be said for Jubilee, who we also have a good image of.
Yeah, and this is pretty interesting because Jubilee, you know, the only time we've really seen her in any sort of physical visual media that wasn't a comic book has been the X-Men cartoons. So
she was in X3 briefly, but they didn't touch, like, in the background. You have to blink and miss her kind of thing.
Okay. Well, then that's I mean, technically, but so, you know, we finally see what she is going to look like. And it worked out really, really well because, I mean, when the 90s X-Men cartoon came out, it was in the 90s, you know, so she kind of had some of the 90s vibe going on with the crazy sunglasses and the very colorful jacket. But it actually works really well and looks normal when you set a movie in the 80s. So they gave her the yellow jacket and they gave her some very colorful sunglasses, and she looks like a Jubilee to me.
Yeah, definitely. Jubilee is one of those characters. It's hard to, like, to me, it would be hard to translate to real life because mm-hmm. she's meant for comics, you know, to be exaggerated in all, like, her looks and style. And she shoots fireworks out of her fingertips, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's rather unique. And they nailed it. They nailed Jubilee. I want to see her in action. I want to see her powers. Mm-hmm. And let's see more Jubilee later.
Yeah.
Speaking of, what do you think of Jean Grey? We got some Jean Grey photos.
Well, Jean Grey looks just like Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones.
Because it is.
In jeans.
Yeah.
So not much coming from Jean Grey, but I mean, that's pretty obvious considering she doesn't really have much visual distinction to her character. You know, she might seem a little bit more X-Men-ish if she had like the X-Men leotard on or something like that, or the X-Men costume. You know, she basically just looks like the actress if you caught her walking down the street, you know, since some 80s fashion is kind of in resurgence right now and doesn't look too different. But we do have a picture of Jean Grey and Jubilee together, you know, and in context that you can kind of start to get the vibe of the film going on.
Yeah, girl power, right? I mean, Sansa Stark, the actress who plays her, she was in a movie or something, and she kind of plays the same character, like pouty.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got, like, permanent resting bitch face. Like, look at her. Like, look at her. Like, she looks like she could be a bitch. And I don't mean this in a bad way. I'm sure she's going to do wonderful. But everything I've seen her in so far doesn't give me much hope for a cool Jean Grey. But at the same time, again, I don't know. They may see something else we don't yet. We've just seen pictures.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious because everyone, like 90% of the people that see her are going to know her from Game of Thrones. And I think we're all kind of curious what her American accent sounds like.
Yeah, it's going to be something to talk about whenever that trailer eventually lands.
Mm-hmm. But we'll have to see, you know. Jean Grey isn't too far from being pouty in the iterations that I've seen her. She's usually pretty serious, so
yeah,
we'll see how that shakes out.
Yeah, definitely. Lastly, the last image from the set here, when filming started on Monday, they put a picture up of a movie theater saying Return of the Jedi now playing, which kind of threw everybody off. It threw you off when I showed you this picture.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what I was looking at here.
1983 is when Return of the Jedi came out, and uh-huh. they're using that as like a movie that's going on while, like, they're filming their scenes.
Uh-huh.
So, like, that's a cool reference to, you know, other Star Wars, which is a Disney property, which owns Marvel and all this other stuff going on.
Yeah.
I like when they reference the real world things.
Yeah, nerds love fan service, so I would love watching a movie and seeing Return of the Jedi on a marquee in the background. So I'm okay with it.
Yep. Yep. And the last bit thing we have, what appears to be their first logo.
Yeah.
It's the big metal X, and it just says Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're going to name this X-Men Apocalypse or just, you know, short Apocalypse, and the X is to show X-Men, right? X.
Not much to say about the logo, but...
No, if you're watching the YouTube version, it's there for you. We just want you to see it. And if you're listening, it's in our show notes. Go click it.
Yeah, but this is starting to roll out. You know, they're getting everything ready to go. So we're definitely will be getting more Apocalypse stuff. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we get a teaser trailer towards the latter half of the year.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta if it's coming out May next year, they gotta start pushing stuff out. Mm-hmm. So cool. Speaking of Fox, since they own Apocalypse and X-Men, they actually greenlit the sequel to Kingsman.
Yeah, I was so excited. I was so excited when I heard this because Kingsman is easily one of my favorite films of the year so far. So I was super excited to see that Kingsman was getting a sequel.
Yeah, I don't have any story information yet, but it's in production, so that's awesome. I bought the trade last week for the first time.
Yeah, I'm curious, is that first trade, is that as far as the series has gone, or is there like a trade 2 out there?
That's the story as is.
What is that, like 6-7 issues in there? Or
I think it's 5. I think it was a 5-part series.
Oh, it makes you wonder if they're going to have to be, I guess, making new stuff up for the sequel then.
Yeah, I definitely think they're going to have to going forward. So because the movie follows those five books.
Yeah.
So, but either way, I mean, that's cool. We love Kingsman.
Yeah, I think the actor, I can't remember his name because I haven't seen him in anything else, but the actor who was the main character in Kingsman, I think this is going to be a great launching pad for his career, and I think we're going to be seeing him in many, many more films thanks to this movie.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Awesome. Speaking of another sequel, you like TMNT, right? I ask you this every week.
Yeah.
So they actually are filming the second one already, which is really surprising to me. That was a quick turnaround. I didn't even know they had a script for the second one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and we've got our first look of Tyler Perry as Baxter Stockman.
Yeah, I always laugh when I hear about Tyler Perry being in a movie. Not necessarily because it's Tyler Perry, but when I went to see the very first Star Trek reboot in theaters, there was someone in the audience because Tyler Perry's in that movie. So, and he's just kind of pops up out of nowhere. He's just suddenly on a council in the movie, and someone just out of nowhere and said, "Is that Tyler Perry?" And it was just like the most hilarious thing, and the theater just started laughing. So now every time I know that Tyler Perry is going to be a movie, I just laugh. So
are you, when this trailer comes out, are you going to be that guy?
Well, I know he's going to be in it, so it won't be surprising.
Yeah, but you could still say that for everyone else. Is that Tyler Perry?
Maybe I can get the jokes. You know, I can get some laughs out of that.
God, that would be like a great job, just to go to every movie theater and just say that during the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's really fun going to a movie that people don't take too seriously, because if you're with a bunch of friends and you just want to start shouting stuff at the movie theater screen, like, people won't get mad. And then, like, it's especially good when you make people laugh that you don't know in the theater. But don't do that at Ultron. That's not nice.
Yeah, yeah, and definitely Baxter Stockman as a character, I remember from the cartoon, he turns into, like, the turtle version of the fly.
Yeah, he morphs himself into a fly. If I remember right, I feel like it had to do, I don't know if it had anything to do with, like, teleportation or something like that, or somehow he mixed himself up with a fly. I don't remember how it happened.
The ooze.
Somehow he gets turned into a fly, so... I don't know if we've had an official villain released for TMNT 2. I don't know if it's been officially announced as Krang, or...
They recast the Shredder, so the Shredder's coming back.
Uh-huh.
And that's all we know so far. Like I said, I didn't know they had the script.
Yeah. Yeah, so I imagine Baxter is going to be...
Bebop and Rocksteady are coming in, so they might be... It might be Stockman doing... genetic experimentation.
Yeah, maybe. So we don't know if Tyler Perry is going to be the lead villain or not, but we're definitely going to be getting some fly action, we think.
Yeah, so if you're excited for Aunt Medea meets the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles next year, this is your show. No, I'm kidding. Hallelujah!
Oh, gosh.
I learned that from South Park. I'm sorry.
No, okay.
Anyway, we have the Arrow, I mean, Casey Jones, choosing his weapon for the movie, an image of that. Casey Jones... You know, his is known for what, Mike? What's his weapon?
He's known for his hockey stick and or his hockey mask, because sometimes he does have a baseball bat.
Yeah, he does have, like golf clubs, like, you know, sports weapons. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of sports sticks as his weapons. But
sports sticks, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
That's the best way I can describe it. but, I mean, it's Stephen Amell, and he looks just like Arrow.
Yeah.
Picking out stuff out of a car trunk.
Yeah, maybe, you know, you don't like to take the movie too seriously, and you probably shouldn't when you see TMNT, but maybe imagine an alternate universe where the Arrow somehow makes it to the TMNT version of New York, and he's just kind of, like, helping the Turtles out.
And you know? Bow and arrows don't exist in this universe, so he has to use what he finds.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, all I got is this bat and this golf club, let's get to work.
It's like those Facebook things, like, you know, open up your car trunk, the first thing you see is a weapon you have to use for the rest of your life kind of deals.
Oh, man.
And he found a hockey stick.
And he's just like, oh, okay, well, let's roll with it.
All right. Well, you got to change my name now. but yeah, there's that. That looks cool. On top of that, we got some Megan Fox back again. Mm-hmm. This is April O'Neil. She's blonde.
Yes.
It looks just like the cartoon version from the 90s.
Yes.
With those puffy bangs and, like, bob hair around the side.
But since we very much know that Megan Fox always has dark hair, it does look very much just like a wig. It looks like a really bad Hermione Granger costume.
Oh, yeah. Horrible Hermione Granger. which is funny because our next image is actually her in her regular outfit with her regular hair running down the street.
Yeah, I assume it's some sort of a incognito turtle mission that she goes on, and she has to be undercover, and she picks a wig, and it's just kind of like a nod and a wink to her previous character.
Yeah, it's an homage, as you will. An homage to April O'Neil from the cartoon.
Yeah, but I'm sure, like everyone else that happened to see TMNT, Megan Fox is not your favorite part of that movie. So let's just make sure we have plenty of turtle action.
Yeah, Megan Fox, when you listen to our podcast, do better this time.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I want her to listen to it or not.
But we know that they listen, Mike, so now we have to tell her to do a good job.
Yeah, Megan Fox, you're probably going to stop listening to the podcast now. But, you know, share it with some of your friends. You know, I'm sure some of your friends want
to
listen.
One listener compared to the billions we have, what of it?
So. Yeah, you know, we got the power over here.
Yeah, we do. We got that power. All right, well, we're going to jump into Batman versus Superman.
All right, let's do it.
We've looked at those turtle images. Let's look at some Batman and Superman and a surprise image.
Man, this is like the week of image releases.
Yeah, this is going to make editing the YouTube video beautiful. So first up, we got some Batman images in his regular Batsuit and the armor Batsuit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that armor Batsuit? You still think it looks like Lego Batman?
Well, I mean, I think this, I thought for at first that this was supposed to be concept art, but then you corrected me and you said it was promo images. So this is, like you said, stuff that we would see on like movie theater cups and stuff like that. So the art kind of makes it look almost like a little childish, you know, since it's out of context and, you know, the giant bat armor suit is not in front of a scenic Gotham. It looks pretty badass. He looks just like an action figure. You know, he looks like all the Batman action figures that you got back when you were a kid. Because they're like, well, we can't just sell one Batman. Let's sell a jungle Batman, and we'll sell a moon Batman, and we'll sell an astronaut Batman. This kind of looks like Steelworker Batman.
I think it's funny. Like, I think, like, you know, like, oh, DC's like, well, what's working for Marvel? Iron Man. Well, we got Iron Man. It's Batman. So put him in suit of armor. I don't mean to poke fun. Like, I say that jokingly. But it does look like, you know, Batman created a suit of armor. Mm-hmm. That's what it would be.
Yeah, and if I remember right, from the animated Batman Returns and from the Frank Miller paper page, this is pretty different, I believe.
It does. It's a little bit bulkier, I think, in Frank Miller. Like, he doesn't look like he can move very well in this.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, if you look at this, I mean, it kind of looks like maybe some Halo armor from the Master Chief plugged in with Batman colors.
Yeah, it looks like Batman assimilated with a tank.
Yeah, very much so.
But at the same time, Batman's going to need all the help he can get if he's fighting Superman. So it makes sense that he's going to be in a tank.
Yeah, definitely. And we got two Superman images. I'm probably going to put these up side by side because they're really not that different.
Yeah, it's like, just Superman. We've seen Superman. He had his own movie, so we know exactly what he's going
to
look like.
Yeah, this is pretty close to Man of Steel. There's a standing one, and then there's an action pose. Well, yeah, Superman can fly. Duh. So that's there. The real surprise came in a Wonder Woman promo image.
Yeah, this one looks like it's definitely maybe wasn't supposed to be released, or it came from some sort of odd source. It is full of lots of little jaggy edges.
It looks like someone took the black background away from it and tried to make it like a white background. But as you can tell, I mean, that's Gal Gadot. It's got her released Wonder Woman outfit going on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's really interesting is the cape.
Yeah, it definitely looks like some sort of solid form of a cape. Like, it's got like armor plating in it or something like that.
Yeah, it looks like a very uncomfortable cape to wear. But it's very, like, metal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like she could wrap that around her, and she'd be okay from, like, whatever was coming at her. But other than that, I mean, does she look a little skinny to you? I've heard that she looks skinny to be Wonder Woman. I want to know your thoughts. I mean, I'm not trying to fat shame anybody or whatever, but, like...
No, it basically just looks like what happens when an artist draws a woman. You know, any artist exaggerates proportions, whether it's a man or a woman. So on a man, you know, they draw giant chest and forearms and stuff like that. And on a woman, they make the waist very tapered. So I don't think that this is very accurate to the actress. I can see the lasso. I think, is that the first kind of little glimpse we have of her lasso?
Let me take a look here. I'm going to get a closer look here. Yes, it is.
Ooh, so that's one thing that I'm kind of curious how you make that work, because a lasso of truth is very much a concept that would be made from the golden age of comic books. So it does seem kind of strange how they're gonna incorporate it into a more serious movie.
And if you look really close to the left of her, do you see her invisible jet back there?
I don't know. It might. I'll have to pull it in Photoshop and see if it's a transparent PNG.
No, it's really not there. This is the bad joke. But
I know. I picked up on the bad joke.
I can't make any vision jokes because that's for the spoiler cast.
Oh man.
But yeah, that's cool to see Wonder Woman. You know, she's supposed to be like a big part in it. And I want to see her. So let's see some more Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah.
So, secondly, I mentioned we're going to talk about DC Cinematic Universe. Like, Suicide Squad is filming,
mm-hmm.
and we've got some interesting news on this one.
Yeah, kind of like some news that we thought was news, and then it ended up being not news, and I guess we'll explain what I'm just saying here.
Yeah, so Will Smith is filming this week. Everyone likes, you know, Big Willie style. so he's out there filming, and he's Deadshot, but he's in his civilian clothes for the whole movie.
Uh-huh, he looks like a pimp.
Not in the whole movie, for this filming. And he does, he looks like a pimp. He's got shopping bags, like designer shopping bags. He's walking around.
Yeah,
and there's his tilted hat and his chain.
Yeah, and there's snow falling. Maybe he's doing some Christmas shopping.
It could very well be. So we get to see that. Next up on the second image is what appeared to be a person in a suit of armor. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, this Deadshot's look. That looks stupid as hell.
Yeah, or some people assume that it was, I don't remember the character's name, but it was some like
Sportsmaster.
Yeah, some like sea villain or like hero that was Sportsmaster. And I just kind of came up with a theory. I was like, this costume looks so bad that I was like, maybe this is supposed to be some low-level henchman that tries to mess with Deadshot while he's shopping. And then, like, Deadshot just vanquishes him very quickly. And, like, basically this sportsman or armored guy is just out of the movie within seconds. But what did we actually learn about this guy?
So this was a comic book fan who dressed up in, like, some homemade armor and waltzed on the set trying to get close to the actors.
That's too funny.
And, you know, like, taken out of context, yeah, it looks like he's on the set for a reason. But then, like, some other images later show, like, no, he's being removed by police because he's not supposed to be there.
That is so funny. I can't imagine the speculation or, like, some of the nerd raid that happened when that image came out.
I'd say IGN said, oh, this is Deadshot's new look. And I'm like, you're stupid.
IGN, you definitely jumped the gun.
Like, I give them, like, you know, maybe 75% of the time they're right, but, like, that was a big bomb. Like, don't do that. That's that's clickbait.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah. And lastly, on that note of Suicide Squad, was the Joker photo just a troll?
Yeah, we basically have gotten reports that the Joker is not going to be having these tattoos in the final film.
Yes, that image that we saw of the Joker last week, and I'll put it up here for you to look at, is essentially for the Joker's 75th anniversary, which was recently. And, you know, he's not going to have his smile on his arm or all the joke. Because he looks like a Joker goon,
mm-hmm.
Like someone who follows the Joker. And this new tweet from Zack Snyder says, ha ha ha, the joke's on you, Batman. Hashtag cryptic. Hashtag 75th.
So do you think there's any possibility that this could have been backpedaling? That maybe they did want to have the Joker with the damaged tattoo on his forehead, but then people freaked out so much and they're just like, no, let's just say it was a joke.
I don't think so, because we have those on-set photos beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
That we even, you know, had last week. They don't show these tattoos on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, again, this was just a photo shoot to celebrate the 75th anniversary. Those are everything on his body is homages to the Joker's, everything the Joker's done over his lifetime. And I think maybe, again, this is the DC wanting to get people talking.
Yeah,
they didn't think about what they were doing when they did it.
Yeah,
now they gotta cover their asses a little bit. But I don't think that was the Joker's look at all.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's easy to say that maybe they didn't handle things too well. I would expect maybe an official look at the Joker to come out soon to kind of quelch the rumors and the desire to see what Joker's really gonna look like.
Yeah, I expect a teaser poster soon, since they're so far into production already.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know about you, but I mean that's kind of what I'm expecting.
I'll take a teaser poster if they want to hand it over to us. It'll give us something to talk about.
Yes, Lord knows we never have enough to talk about. But yeah, I mean the Joker. I mean it was funny. Some people who listened last week were like, you summed it up pretty good when saying, you know, DC doesn't have their shit together. And honestly, if that is a joke and they haven't come out and said it yet, they're still not getting their shit together.
Man, you know what I'm just hoping for? I'm really hoping that this Batman Superman movie is just amazing, and it just stops all of this speculation and everything. You know, I really want to get to a place where we're talking about the DC movies with excitement and not so much reservation. But I mean, you know, it's expected. We have to have a little bit of reservation because they haven't quite proven themselves yet. So I hope they prove themselves with Batman Superman, and then we can all go into the Suicide Squad super hype.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. I mean, they've got one movie under their belt with Man of Steel, and that's kind of mixed, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't as strong a start as Iron Man was.
But, yeah, it was no Iron Man.
but they seem to have a plan they're working towards, and I'm going to knock on wood, if you can hear that that's actual wood. That's not plastic this time. that they're going to get something great. So here's to hoping.
Yeah. Well, let's segue into the biggest news we have this week, that the Power Rangers movie was moved.
Yes.
What? No. <it's,
laughs> oh, man, you threw me off guard there.
Yeah, we saved it all the way for the very end.
Yeah, so Power Rangers has moved to 2017 from 2016 to avoid all the big hitters next year.
Yeah.
And it probably, I don't know if it helped itself or hurt itself, because 2017 is just as big.
Yeah, I think the Power Rangers movie is going to come and go without much fanfare. I think they're just trying to capitalize on, you know, some of the nostalgia out there from kids that used to watch it that are now kind of grown-ups. Maybe they're hoping that they can dip into those wallets again. I don't think it's going to be anything super special, but it's been moved. It makes me sound like they're getting nervous.
Yeah.
they're trying to find that month where they don't have to compete with anybody.
Yeah, and those months are really starting to dwindle. Maybe just move it to 2020 where nothing's been announced yet, but yeah. Power Rangers. That's the event movie of the summer of 2020.
Summer? I don't know. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if maybe we saw this in, like, January, February, maybe.
Yeah. So that's really the last of the big news. I want to touch on something I've been doing this past week.
Yeah, you've been doing something I've been waiting for you to do for a while here.
So I started watching The Flash.
Yeah. And well, how far are you now?
I am at least 10 episodes in.
Yeah, so...
I'm halfway through.
So I've specifically been waiting to ask you today what you think about the show, because I thought we could get it on the podcast. So how do you feel about The Flash?
I enjoy The Flash. I enjoyed the pilot when I watched it last year, but it's a Spider-Man show I think we need.
Yeah, you think so?
It's got that lightheartedness that Spider-Man has, and I think that makes it great.
Uh-huh.
And your wife has been writing a script for it. Can I say that?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just a spec script. She's it's kind of
it's not an official TV script. Yeah, it's like a fun thing, kind
of. Yeah, it's kind of something that you write to prove that you got the chops to possibly write for the show. But yeah, we both really like the show, and she likes it so much that she wants to see if she could possibly do it justice and write her own story for it.
Yeah, and she definitely. I mean, I read it. I helped. I provided some feedback on it,
uh-huh.
And I liked it, and it kind of spurred me. I'm like, all right, I need to get into the show and like just catch up where everybody is.
Uh-huh.
And so I got on Hulu to do this, and they only had the last 5 episodes on Hulu.
Hulu, fuck you, Hulu. This is an explicit podcast. I'm gonna say fuck you, Hulu. I hate Hulu. I hate it.
Thank you. I hate it with every fiber of my being as well. And it's Hulu Plus too, so you pay for it, and you're like, I still have to watch commercials.
Yeah, and you don't get all the episodes. That's bullshit.
Right. So I had to go through some other means to get The Flash, at least the first 15 episodes, because they're not on Hulu Plus. And I've been watching about 2, maybe 3 a day, mm-hmm. and I've enjoyed it, and I want to see where it goes. It's surprisingly, I like Green Lantern, and I read The Flash when I read DC. So it's doing really well with it, and I enjoy it. But Hulu Plus can suck a dick.
Yeah, I mean, there's specific episodes on The Flash where I get really excited for seeing The Flash in the Warner Brothers cinematic universe, because I want to see The Flash with a big budget. Because I believe one of the criticisms that you told me is that you were like, do the special effects get any better? And I wanted to say that they got better, just so you would keep watching it, but they're pretty consistent through the show because they're running on that CW TV budget.
Yeah, and I don't think I hold it against it again, and these are not live television. Like, when the Blu-rays come out, I'm sure they're going to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's nothing against it. Hulu Plus sucks, and on top of that note, Seinfeld, one of my favorite shows, I feel you like it as well.
Oh, yeah.
You get a lot of reference. It's coming to Hulu Plus, the first streaming service Seinfeld is going to.
Yeah, but who gives a shit on some Hulu Plus, damn it.
It's going to Hulu Plus, so I might as well just wait for the Blu-rays to eventually release and pay hundreds of dollars for those, then $10 a month for this shit.
Yeah, it's so frustrating because, like, I read some comments online that, you know, it made sense. Like, we don't want it to be on Hulu, but it makes sense that Seinfeld is going to be better for Hulu than Seinfeld would be better for Netflix. Because, you know, Netflix, you know, they'll have more money to put towards original content, you know, to give us another season of Daredevil, to maybe put a bigger budget on those seasons than giving us something that we've already seen before. You know, Hulu definitely needs an anchor show, so they picked up Seinfeld, but I'm not going to watch it. I don't need commercials. I can't live in a world with commercials anymore. And I know it makes it more difficult for productions to make money, you know, because they need that ad revenue, but I'd rather just give you money directly. Let me give you more money so I don't have to sit through commercials, because they're soul crushing. That's why we don't like Hulu Plus. So fuck you, Hulu Plus. And yeah, that's where I'm gonna leave that.
Yeah, thanks, man. Hulu, suck it.
I think that's the most explicit we've ever been on this show is when we bring up Hulu.
Yeah, that I mean, you definitely can tell how we feel about it. Netflix has Friends, which I refuse to watch. So, like, because of the dichotomy of each other at the time. Uh-huh. So, either way. But, now you know how we feel. That's it for the show today.
Man.
Yeah,
we're probably going to take a little break here, and then we're gonna start recording that Ultron special that we hope all of you go listen to. But you need to pause this, and if you're listening to this on The Office, you just need to at The Office, you need to make an excuse that you're sick. You need to go see Ultron. Take a half day.
Yes, so we're going to do the Ultron spoiler cast. Do we want to tell them where it's going to be?
If you're subscribed to our feed, you'll be getting it just like you would any other episode. We'll be putting up on YouTube. We're actually going to try something new, and we're going to upload the video to Facebook, and we're going to see how people like consuming video on Facebook. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, this Ultron special is going to be everywhere. We know a lot of people want to know how we feel about it, so we're getting excited.
Yeah, definitely. And until then, Mike, how can they reach you?
Well, they can follow me at Mike Royer Design, either on Twitter or Instagram. Or you can read some of my webcomics over at Pickled Comics. Where can they find you, Chris?
Well, you can follow me at Valdan, VALDAN, on Twitter. Uh-huh. You can also go to Comic UI. We do news.comicui.com. Uh-huh. And we are also on Facebook and Twitter at Comic UI. Uh-huh. And that's where I'm working at a lot lately with all this news coming out. So if it's not on news, go to Facebook, Twitter to get up to date and read my review of Age of Ultron that's there.
Yeah. But as always, please go to superheroslate.com. That is the best place to find everything that we link to. You can find all of our links to subscribe, to send us comments, to rate us on iTunes pretty please. You can find links to the RSS feed, to the Facebook page, to the Twitter, we're everywhere. So go to superheroslate.com and you won't have to remember all these different outlets. They'll just all be in one location.
Yep, you can get your link and or the image links in the show notes below. Mm-hmm. Or on YouTube. We're like I said, we're stepping up our YouTube game the more we do this. So if you want to watch while you listen, that's where you want to go.
Yeah, you guys are in the grassroots with us right now. We are growing, and it's awesome to have you guys here with us. But hope you guys have a great week. I hope you saw Ultron, and then you can jump on over to our spoiler review. Bye, everybody.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe.